This is the true riches of God. As I mentioned in my latest letter, we have had a good response to the ads for the Bible. And this has worked out quite well in being able to see the response in the magazines that we had. Now, we advertised 4 times in the Washington Times, got a good response from that. We advertised once in Biblical Archaeological Review, and we got a really good response from that. And we're going to run 2 more issues in Biblical Archaeological Review. And then I put an ad with a magazine that is called Homeschooling Link. And the reason I did was because I mentioned about homeschooling and church at home. I'll talk about that in a bit. But then someone brought me a magazine that is put out by a homeschooling network. So I had the phone number there, so I called them and arranged to have the ad put in there. And so we'll see what sort of response we get from homeschoolers because, you know, most of them are very serious about what they're doing, and they're teaching their children at home because they don't want them to learn all the evil in the government propaganda schools. So we'll be anxious to see how that will take place. That will come out in the March-April issue. And in talking to the woman, Sylvia Bardelli, I told her that she mentioned, well, they're going to start a religious section in their magazine. And so I said, well, would you like an essay? She said, oh, yeah, we'd be happy to have an essay. So we worked up 14 Rules of Bible Study as an essay that's going to go on a magazine, which will be right close to where the ad is. So this will tell them how to study the Bible after they order it. So that'll work out pretty good. As you know, we've had some very good reviews with the Bible, and we hope to have some more coming along. There will be some that won't like it, but that's the way it goes. And of the 7,000 lambskin leather Bibles that we originally ordered and had printed up and shipped, we have less than 2,000 right now. And with the ads, we'll probably take that down considerably. Plus, we're sending the supply over to Australia and fly up to probably to Canada. And a supply down to Frank Penny. I've been derelict in getting the order out to him. But we've had really an exceptional response. And then Bob Ellsworth took the Bible back to the National Association of Religious Broadcasters. And he took 5 boxes, and there are 8 in a box, 5 boxes of the lambskin Bibles. And he sold all of them while he was back there in the first day and a half. And so he's gotten some pretty good inquiries from it. He also, what we're going to do is we're going to arrange that through York Publishing, the Bibles will be sold to him at a wholesale price. And from now on, he will take care of all the advertising and all the mailing and all of that, which will help out in the office because with us taking care of all the orders of the Bible, it's been pretty hectic. So I'm sure that it will go well. So just be sure and ask God's blessing on it, because what you have here with the Bible is the very first Bible ever published that has the Old and New Testaments in their original order. Now, you have some very kind of different combinations with it. One of them is that the Jewish Bible by David Stern, how many have heard of it or seen it, Jewish Bible? He put out the Jewish New Testament first, which is relatively good, but it was more of a paraphrase than a translation. And he has the Old Testament in the original order, but the New Testament in the standard order that you find in like the King James Version and so forth. And so someone sent me an email one day and said, no, there's one other Bible that has the original order first, So I said, well, if that's true, then we'll have to modify in the next printing that we weren't the first. So I ordered off the Bible. It was called the Restoration Bible by a rabbi in Florida. So I got the Bible, and sure enough, he didn't have it all in the right order. He had James out of order and Philemon out of order, and so we're still first Bible ever published to have it that way. Now, if you had the Bible in Hebrew and then in Greek, the beginning of the Bible would be the middle where the Old and New Testament meet, because Hebrew is read from right to left, and Greek is read from left to right, like English. And so it would be kind of awkward, you know, Genesis next to Matthew, and then 2 Chronicles at the cover of the book. And so in English it works out good. And I hope that, now, if some of you don't have a Bible, leave your name and address here with me, and we'll send you one when I get back to the office. Now, about 4 years ago, as I was flying to Cincinnati for the Elders Conference, I was reading a book called Christianity Without Christ. And this is what we are experiencing today, where they want to remove Christ as it's understood in the Bible and have him and substitute that with all the liberal propaganda and all of the things like emancipation of women, emancipation of the races, and so forth, and not have Jesus the way it is in the Bible. And he said, in his book that he wrote, it was Lloyd Geer, I think was his name, from New Zealand. And he said, we've sufficiently removed Christ from the schools and the universities. We sufficiently moved Christ from the field of science. We've sufficiently removed him from the government. And now we are removing it from the lives of people. So I thought to myself, there's one place they can't do it. That's in your home. Not yet. They're going to try. So when I got there, I called our webmaster, Ron Carey, and I said, please reserve the name churchathome.org.com.net so that we can use that as when we get to the point of doing it. I didn't think it would be over 4 years later. But now with the Bible complete, we're ready. And we want to use video as well as audio. And in order to do that, we have a man in the church, Stan Snyder, who is a professional studio supplier. And he knows about professionally doing things video-wise. And if you look at our DVDs, he refers to me as a talking head. Because that's about all you see. And so he came out and visited with me last week because he wants the videos to be professional. And since that's his business, he knows how to do it. So he said, what you really need, Fred, you really need a studio. And so he said, in order to reach people in the world, you need to have a professional setup. You need a studio. And he said, what you can do, you can go to a TV studio, and what you can do is you can rent it, and you can do like two or three or four half-hour church-at-home things and pay $1,000 or $2,000 for it. And so we got to talking, and I said, well, how would it work out if we were able to set up our own studio? He said, that would be perfect. So I called the K&S Properties, from whom we leased the two small offices that we have, and I asked him, because there was one that was for lease, 450 square feet. He said that would be minimum, but he really would like 600 square feet. So I asked him if we could get the one for, was 450 square feet, which they had available for $665 a month, which was not bad. And so then a couple of days later, I was walking down the hall with Jim Hiles, and just right before we get to the end of the hall, there is a meeting room that they have for Alcoholics Anonymous Latino. And they only meet in there in the evenings. So I called him and said, what would be the possibility of being able to meet in there? And then we would try and convert our small area back where we do the videos now, convert that into a studio. And he said he would think about it and let me know, but that first one was probably already gone. Someone already had leased it out. So I called him on Thursday. No, I left Thursday. It was Wednesday. I called him Wednesday and said, what's the possibilities look like of being able to meet in that room so we could do the studio in where we are now? And he said, well, I'm working on a deal right now because, and I think that the Alcoholics Anonymous that they have really is a freebie that they give to them. And they have moved them to different rooms in the past. So he said, I'm working on getting them to move to a room downtown, and they will probably go for it, and you can have the room that they are in, which is 600 square feet. Now, when you fix up a studio does not have everything that you see there. It's like, when they do the weather. You look at this big screen, and they show the map, and they show it all moving and so forth, but it's not up on that big screen. That is mixed in the flow of the video. And the background is green. And so what Stan said is, we'll set it up with a green background, green sidewalls, green table, and we can put any background, even desk, that we need to make it look professional. He said, most of the studios that you see the news on, what you see is not there. That is added in. So he went online and showed me this company that does the background and things like this. And you can buy the software, which will give you the background, for between $50 and $200. And so we want to have a professional background if we can. And so Stan, I'm sure, will come over and set it all up. And that way then we will have a video studio set up to use anytime we need. Once it's set up, that's it. We won't use it for anything else. Now, Church at Home, we're going to begin by using the 12-minute attention span. And I know all of you have a 12-minute attention span because you have all been trained by the TV channels. Starts out, you have about 12 minutes, and then bam. When you start getting down to 10 and 12 minutes, you know that there's going to be a break. Isn't that correct? And so you're ready at 12 minutes, and what do? Well, you go get something to eat, you go do something real quickly that you need to do, you might take care of the essentials of human bodily works and all of that sort of thing, and then you get back after they have 3 minutes of commercial. Then the next 15 minutes, what they do, they split that up in 8-minute and then 2-minute advertisement, and then 3 minutes, and then 3 more minutes of advertisement, and you're past the half hour. And you've seen this in movies, too. They put most of the advertisements, they front-load them in the movie. And sometimes you wonder, well, how many commercials are they going to have? And then when it gets to the meaty part at the end, they have fewer commercials because they know the attention span is 12 minutes. Now, we're going to take advantage of that 12-minute attention span because you can't start brand new people who have never heard of anything before. You can't start them out with an hour and a half sermon and expect them to hold their attention. What you have to do, you have to get them interested by what you are saying and then refer them to the church website, cbcg.org. So the first video I'm going to do is Why Church at Home, and I'm going to explain about how it came about, and I'll read some quotes from the book, Christianity Without Christ. And we're seeing all of that unfold before us. And so we hope to get that going within, say, about 90 days, provided we can get everything up and going. Just depends how long it's going to be to get it set up on the website. On the website, we'll have the video, and now you can convert video to MP4, and you can download it into your computer. You can download it to a CD. You can download it on your iPod, on your BlackBerry, on your Blueberry, on your Raspberry, or whatever berry you have. You could have it there. See? And also what we want to do, speaking of iPhones, when we get the second printing of the Bible done, which we're working on right now, and we have been since this was printed, you will find a few typos in there. Some of you who are more critical will find more than others. Some of them are obvious, and in every book that is published, in the first edition, there are always obvious typos that you wonder, how did we miss that? Because we went over it, over it, over it, over it, over it. So those will all be taken care of. Plus, then, we will be ready for a digital version. And we hope to put that together with eSword. Anybody here use eSword on their computer? Okay, quite a few. Okay. Then we also want to have the whole Bible downloadable for a computer through the iPhone purchasing. They already have Bibles for sale on iPhones. My son Stephen showed me. And you know, the iPhone, you just go, toot, 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 toot. I don't know how they do it, but hey, they've got everything there. You know. And that really makes me understand I'm truly Fred Flintstone of technology. You know, that's the way it goes. So, he showed me some Bibles that were for sale there. And what they can do, they can download it because they have such tremendous memory. Even on these iPhones, you can download the whole Bible on the iPhone, and then you can put it into, plug it into your printer at home, and you can print out whatever you want. So have that for sale, say for about $24.95 for the whole Bible. And that way it'll give some income stream for the church from people who do not yet want to get involved in a church, because their idea of a church is more like what you see on television, and it is becoming ridiculous. And what is happening in Protestantism? Protestantism is dying. It's being killed by two things. Mega churches. You have one big one right here in Houston, don't you? Joel Osteen. Three services a day at $16,000 apiece. And he preaches all the nice, wonderful, smooth things. Then you have the other extreme. You have the Pentecostals who hoop and holler and leap and jump. And most of the old-timers are going, going, gone. Jerry Falwell is gone. Pat Robertson is going. Schuller at the Christian Cathedral has had a fallout with his son, so there's a split going there. Now, with the megachurches, they kill understanding of the Bible because they have to teach everyone such pablum and such wonderful, nice stories that they never get anything except humanism with a little sprinkling of Jesus in it. And the big churches are killing the little churches because the younger people are going to the big churches because they have daycare, they have schools, they have gymnasiums, they have workouts, they have all of those things in these big mega churches. And so the small little country churches are dying out. Doctrine in Protestantism is so far out of sight that it is almost unreasonable to think that it came from the Bible. And the Achilles heel that they had, which eventually led to this position, follows right along with something we all know. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, right? And Sunday keeping is the leaven that down through the years led them away from God, because Sunday was never a day that God sanctified. And in the next CDs, you're going to hear about the three most important things for our relationship with God. One, the Sabbath, because that tells us who God is and where He is. Number two, the Passover, because that puts us in a personal relationship with God. Number three are the holy days. And the exact counterpart of that you find in worldly Christianity. What are the three most important things? Sunday, Eucharist, Communion, Lord's Supper, and holidays, correct? So there you have the truth of God, the three most important things, and you have the satanic occult way with Sunday. Now, some people get really offended. So this is why we sent out the revised booklet, A Sabbath Sunday Challenge You Have Never Read, from the enemy, Rome's Challenge. How many have read that? It's very interesting what Cardinal Gibbon, though he may not have personally written it in 1893, he said, "You Protestants, if you do not wholly come on to Catholic ground because we declared Sunday the day of worship, and you can't find it in the Bible, if you don't come on to Catholic ground, the Roman Catholic Church is going to rise in its old ancient arrogance, and it will come upon you in an hour that you least suspect." And I think what we're seeing with Protestantism is the result of behind-the-scenes work of the Jesuits. So, that's why we're going to have church at home. Well, let's touch on some important things here today. What are the true riches of God? Now, we've seen what has happened with all the riches of the world, all of the things devised by lying, cheating, stealing, and by leveraging, and by derivatives. And they have finally figured out that if they were able to rescue everything in the world and keep it from collapsing, guess how much money that would take? $600 trillion. And there's not that much money in the world. And all of that pales into insignificance compared to what God is offering us. Now let's come to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and let's see some important things. Now we do have to, while we're living in the world, be wise with our finances. We do have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So here in Matthew, the 6th chapter, we find a real principle that we need to follow in everything we do. Okay? Matthew 6. Let's pick it up here in verse 19. "Do not store up treasure for yourself on earth, where moth and rust spoil, and where thieves break through and steal, but store up treasures for yourself in heaven." Now, you can't send checks to heaven. You can't send money to heaven. So these are the true riches, because what did Jesus say? He said, if you cannot be trusted with the unrighteous mammon, who is going to trust you with the true riches? And this is what it's talking about, the true riches. And we will see what they are today. But store up treasures for yourself in heaven, where neither moth nor rust spoils, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Then he also said in another place, no one can serve. He says it up here. Yes, no one can serve two masters. You can't serve mammon and you can't serve God. So while we are to take care of our financial things and, yes, give tithes and offerings and things like that, the truth is, you're never going to buy salvation. The truth is, it has to be conversion from the heart. And that conversion from the heart are the true treasures that we are told that we are to purchase from God. Now remember what God told the Laodiceans. Let's go back there, Revelation 3, for just a minute. Revelation 3, and let's see what God told the Laodiceans. And if there's any one thing that is true, we're living in a Laodicean era. And that is with the false riches of this world. Let's pick it up in verse 15. I know your works. You see, the truth is, everyone has works, and I need to give a sermon on works. And the works that really, really, really count are first in the mind. Because people can have a mindset one way and exteriorly appear another way. And you have seen that, haven't you? Look at the $50 billion ripoff by Bernie Madoff. Why, he was such a nice man. He was kind. He was considerate. But you didn't know what was going on up here. So the works of the mind are the most important. And the works of the mind, then, are reflected in your actions, because what you think first is what you do. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you be either cold or hot. Now that's what God wants. He doesn't want a half-hearted effort. He doesn't want nice little stories of wonderful little things about how humans get along and play patsy-patsy with their hands. See? Because God has called us to the greatest riches, to the greatest calling, to the greatest future that can ever be and never thought of in the minds of human beings. Now then, for being cool. See, if you're lukewarm, you're neither hot nor cold. What is that? You're cool. Isn't that right? And isn't that a favorite expression today? When things are good, you say, that's cool. Or if you really have twisted the English language, if it's good, you say it's bad. So, there comes a penalty with it. See, because the truth is, with the way that God has created our minds, and the way that God has created us, and the way that God keeps track of things on earth, everyone, everywhere, is being judged at all times by the laws he has set in motion. Okay, you need to think on that, because that's true. So he says, so then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich and have become wealthy. Let's see, when the stock market crashed this year, how many people lost everything? How many people lost 50%, 60%, 70%? That's part of it. What we are seeing with this economic downturn is because of the sins of the people and the dishonesty of the monetary system that we have. It's God's judgment. It's also God's judgment against the Anglo-Saxon people for turning their backs on God because they were to take the knowledge of God to the world. You say, I am rich and become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you do not understand that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now you may see things physically, but you don't see things spiritually, and you don't see things from God's way. I counsel you to buy from me gold purified by fire, that spiritual gold, as it were, so that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and to anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see. As many as I love. So God is saying, in spite of all of this, I love you. But you need to respond to his love. We need to respond to his pleading with us. And we, you know, the best place to start is all admit we've all been Laodiceans from day one. And as things get tougher, you're going to see, yes, that is true. And yes, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's God's calling. Because of the Laodiceans, there are two kinds. Number one, those who have the Spirit of God are going to be spewed out of the mouth. Number two, those who have an interest in God, who have thought about God, who have never really taken any action on it. And they are the ones that Jesus is standing knocking for them to open the door. They have sought things far enough so that now there's a responsibility to them to respond to God. God is responding to them. So he's knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, that means repentance and conversion. And as we covered yesterday, the covenant for eternal life includes baptism, which then is your symbolic death. So be sure and listen to that one. Opens the door, I will come into him. And as we're going to see, one of the greatest riches that God gives us. You strip away all the physical things, strip away everything that there is, and the greatest riches that God gives us is his Holy Spirit, which cannot be purchased. I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. That is, you will have a relationship with God, a spiritual relationship that the world cannot see, the world does not understand. And it is a relationship through prayer, through study, through walking in the way of the Lord, through living by his commandments. And it's called fellowship. Then he says, verse 21, to the one who overcomes, I will give authority to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. Now again, just like we read, the one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Because it all gets down to our individual choices. A church cannot save. Being born into a family that is a part of the church does not save. Now, a church can facilitate salvation if they teach the Word of God. But only God the Father through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and the Holy Spirit of God can bring salvation. And he desires a personal relationship between you and him. Now let's come to 1 John the first chapter and let's see that. 1 John the first chapter. Are you getting used to the new placement of the books of the Bible in their original order? Okay. 1 John, the first chapter. There we go. Let's begin right here in verse 1. 1 John, the first chapter. Now, just a little bit of background on the epistle of 1 John. It was written in a time much like we are facing today. Many false prophets, many false Christs, many people saying you do not have to keep the commandments of God. We have grace, grace, and as long as we have grace, that's fine. We don't need anything else. If you have faith and grace, you need nothing else. Well, what is faith supposed to do for you? You must have active faith and you must live it. Now, let me ask you another question here. Does it take any faith at all to not keep the commandments of God? No. Does it take faith to keep the commandments of God, to keep His Sabbath, to keep His holy days, to have a direct personal relationship with Him? Yes. That takes faith. And that's one of the riches of God, because it comes from God. And you can read the faith chapter, and you read it. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. And their faith was always followed by something that they did. They obeyed. And remember the parable that Jesus asked the Pharisees when they wanted to know some things. He says, well, I'll ask you a question. A man had two sons. And he said to his sons, go work in my field today. And the first one said, yes. But he didn't do it. Second one said no, but he repented and did it. So Jesus asked the Pharisees, which one did the will of the Father? And they said, the one who went and worked in the field. And then I think that he told them, you do likewise. Now here's the relationship. John wrote this because the church was disintegrating from problems within, from false prophets, from trials, from Satan the devil persecuting the church. So he wanted every single one to have their mind on what was the most important thing, just like Jesus told the Laodiceans. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, that ties in with the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 as well. That which we have heard, that which we have seen with our own eyes. There were to be eyewitnesses of Christ. That which we observe for ourselves and our hands handled. They virtually lived with Christ 3.5 years, day and night. Under all circumstances, seeing all the miracles, all the healings, the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, etc. Concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and are bearing witness and are reporting to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and have heard, we are reporting to you in order that you may have fellowship with us. For the fellowship, and that's what it is with the Greek, the fellowship. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His own Son, Jesus Christ. And so just like any true minister of God, he points them to God. Not to himself. He points them to repentance, not to placate. Now notice, these things we are also writing to you that your joy may be completely full. And so he wants us to have this fellowship. And the rest of the book of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John tell us how to do this. Now, if you don't have the book, the General Epistles, when I began translating in earnest, that was in 1991, and we had just finished a whole series going through the Gospel of John. And that one ended up with 56 messages, half of them being subtopics like grace and so forth. And I was using the King James at that time. And I would explain to the brethren, when you read the King James, when it's a verb, it ends in th, he doeth, that means he is doing, or he does, that's a present tense verb. When you have it with the eth, that is a participle, which Greek has a lot of participles. So I would explain these things as we went along. And then we got done with that, and so I asked the brethren, we had a large group of seven at the time, and I said, well, you see, because when times get tough, what we decided to do was we need to keep our noses in the Bible, okay? And so I asked him, well, would you like to study another book? Oh, yes. I said, well, how about if we start with the general epistles, and then I do a study translation of James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude. So we did. We ended up with that now with a book and 79 messages that goes through these general epistles, the seven general epistles. So if you want those, we don't yet have them digital because it's hard to convert everything all at once over to digital. But we go through word by word by word by word through everything in the general epistles. And likewise, we've done with Romans and Galatians and Hebrews. And we want to have online the most complete set of in-depth Bible studies for people that God is working with so that they will see that the truth of the Bible stands at all times, from Genesis to Revelation, and there is a unity of Scripture and a unity of what God wants. And the main thing that we have in the New Testament, and the, one of the very first things and the true riches of Christ, is personal relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Let's go to the next track, please.